keep you too long, but I want to show you something the Lord showed me in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1. Let's stand together if you're able and begin in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And if you'll go with me for just a little while this morning, I want to preach on this thought: no room for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, on this special day to be gathered together in your house with your people, assembled together for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you'll help us to do that this morning, Lord, that you'll take the word of God, Lord, and that you will overcome my feebleness and my frailty, Lord, that you'll bypass me, Lord, and speak directly to your people in a way that I cannot. And God, I'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Here we are, the scene is set. Joseph and Mary are headed down to Bethlehem, the city of David, to be taxed along with the rest of the Roman world. And they were going there because Joseph's heritage, his lineage, his genealogy was traced through David, and that placed him in that category where that was the place that he had to go. And this journey, although perilous, was the same journey that a lot of other people were making. If we could kind of picture it in our mind, they weren't walking alone. They were walking along with a whole lot of other people to get to this place. But you got to understand, they didn't have a car. They didn't have a truck. They didn't have a bus or a train or a plane. They had a donkey, probably, that was carrying their things, and they had a strip of leather between the sole of their foot and the dust of the earth. And as my daddy would say, they had Pat and Charlie, you know, righty and lefty, and they walked. And I don't know, I'm not a mapologist or nothing, I don't think that's a real word, but I don't know exactly how far it was from where they were at when they started the journey to where they ended up. But here's what I know. If you put on a pair of sandals in the heat of the summer and walk from here to Glover Road, you're going to be tired when you get there.
Amen.
And I imagine it was a whole lot further than that. And so they take this journey, and all the while, Mary, Joseph's espoused wife, that's an important word, because they were not yet married. They were not yet come together. Yet Mary was pregnant with the Son of God. She was with child. She was carrying a child. And not only was she pregnant, let's just say like this, she was real pregnant. So how do you know that? Because she had the baby as soon as they got to Bethlehem. She was y'all know what I'm talking about? 9 months. That thing, it wasn't just out there no more. It was out and down. Heavy. And they walked. And they were tired. They were dirty. They were frustrated. They were probably mad, because the reason they were going to Bethlehem wasn't to give birth to the Son of God. It was to pay taxes to Caesar. I don't know about you, but if I had to walk a long ways just to pay my taxes when I got there, I'd probably be upset about it. Be frustrated. And they get to Bethlehem, and they are met with this phrase: "There is no room."
I got to pondering on that, thinking on that. And that phrase just really struck me as we approach this Christmas season in the world that we live in, the world of 21st century America. And I watch as the parades go on and the trees go up and the lights go up and the celebrations happen and the parties and the shows and all the things that are going on everywhere all over this country. But in most cases, there's no room. There's no room for Jesus. There's plenty going on. There's plenty of activity. There's plenty of things happening. But there's no place that's been set aside for the Lord to be involved. And so I want to give you this for just a few minutes today, this thought of no room for Jesus. I noticed this. There was no room for Him because of the government's policies. Look at verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. That was the king. He was the boss. That all the world should be taxed. Can I tell you this? When Caesar Augustus put out that decree that all the world should be taxed, it was what we would call indiscriminate. That meant that it didn't matter who you were, where you lived, how old you were, what color you were, what you did for a living, you were involved in it, including God and the people of God. The political leadership, the governmental leadership of the time, I'll just say it like this, was completely oblivious to what God was doing. Had they known or cared that the Son of God was about to be born, they certainly would not have put in place a policy that would have caused His mother to be in this type of situation. But the reality was the government and those in leadership didn't have any idea what in the world God was doing at that time, nor did they care. As a matter of fact, Matthew 2 tells us that the first government official that found out that the Son of God was being born, his immediate reaction to it was kill every baby in that town until we get him.
Yep.
Say, what are you getting at, preacher? The government didn't have no room for Jesus. Hey, y'all, that didn't just start with Biden.
That's right.
It didn't just start with Obama. It didn't just start in the 20th century or the 21st century. The government has never been our ally, and they're never going to be.
That's right.
There is never going to be a governmental solution to the issues of the people of God.
Amen.
Even when Jesus was walking on this earth, even His own disciples thought that the way that He was going to bring them victory was going to be to take over the government of the place in which they lived. And Jesus said, you don't understand, there's a kingdom that is bigger than this kingdom that y'all are concerned about.
Amen.
The government has no room for Jesus. Say, why are you telling us that? Listen to me. If you put your faith in what the government is going to do for the church, I can tell you how that's going to turn out. Just go over to England, go over to Europe, where they have state churches that are run by the government. Did y'all know that the government having their hands in the church is exactly why America exists in the first place? The government doesn't exist to fix the church. The church doesn't exist to bolster the government. The government ain't never knew what was going on in the economy of God. They don't know now. They're not going to start now. They're not going to break. Are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you that the government policies caused a situation where there was no room for Jesus, and they had no regard, nor did they have any solution. I'm sure by the measure of income and policy making in our day that Jesus' family, Mary and Joseph and their family, probably qualified for affordable housing, but there still won't no room for them in the end. The government can't fix what's wrong, y'all. And I feel like I need to preach that to this crowd as much as any crowd. You say, why? Because every time the election day rolls around, we start trying to put in the person that's going to fix the problems that affect the church. Hey, listen, if a politician does things that are positive for the church, that's wonderful. But you better wake up and smell the roses and find out that that's not what's going to be the solution. The church will not go on because of a governmental policy. The church will go on because Jesus said this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I don't care who's in the White House.
There was no room for Jesus because of the governmental policies. That didn't just start. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. There was no room for Jesus. Let me move on, because of the greed of the people. Look at verse number 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Now, let me just talk through this with you logically. Is that okay? I'm not gonna give you nothing super deep right here. I'm just gonna give you something logical. Here's a man who owns a hotel, motel, whatever you want to call it, an inn. The innkeeper, as we say. I think we portray the innkeeper as being very compassionate toward Jesus' family, but that's not what I'm seeing in this text right here.
No.
You're gonna tell me that you a motel owner. Here comes a family. All these people are coming into town. Here comes a family. They approach you. She's about to pop. Probably already having contractions. Things are clearly happening. They probably ain't got no money to amount to anything. Probably look like you look when you just come in off a foot walk for miles and miles. You're going to tell me that you can't make room for them inside the building? Think about that. Are we really going to work under the assumption that there was not a space out of the weather inside a building that was designed for humans, as opposed to a stall that was designed for livestock, that this man could have allowed this birth to happen? I said, because of the greed of the people. Here's what I know about Jesus' family. They probably didn't have a lot of money. Probably didn't have a lot of influence. That in all reality, they were somewhat of outcasts, because obviously Mary was with child and they weren't married. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to preach too much longer. I just follow me right here. I'm guessing. Now this, I'm taking a leap right here. Just go with me. I'm guessing, just based on my experience, if Joseph had pulled out a wad of hunters out of his pocket and started taking them off, they would have come up some room in the end.
Yeah.
I'm guessing if Joseph had said, "Hey, listen, you know my daddy's a senator," they probably would have come up some room in the end. I'm just taking a wild guess. If Joseph and Mary had had something to offer to this innkeeper, maybe there would have been some room in the end. But because they didn't have anything to offer him, his greed overcame his humanity and compassion. He didn't just turn away. Whether he knew who this was or not was irrelevant. Here's a lady in labor on your doorstep.
Amen.
It nowhere in your Bible does it say he told them to go to the stall. Right.
No.
I think they walked outside and said, "We got to get out of the weather somewhere. We might," because who in their right mind would have said, "Y'all go sleep out there in a horse barn"? Nowhere, it don't say he said that. They did that probably because they didn't have no other option. You get some kind of a roof over their head. The hurdle that stands between most people and the will of God for their life
is greed.
Pride, desire, selfish ambition.
As we approach this holiday season here, remember this.
When you start thinking about you and what's good for you, it is impossible, for the most part, for you to do that and focus on what's good for everybody around you at the same time.
Amen. Amen.
I thought about this while I was studying this. Luke 18, the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and he says, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your disciples. What do I have to do? He asked Jesus an interesting question. What do I got to do to be saved? That's an interesting question. What do I have to do to go to heaven? That's a pretty good question. And Jesus starts quizzing him, because you got to understand, Jesus could see what was already on his mind. And he said, well, first of all, you got to be good. Which we know, that ain't the way. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot more to it than that. Jesus said, well, what about all these commandments? Don't kill, don't commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. He said, got that, check. I've been doing that my whole life. Now, first of all, that's silly.
Yes.
But Jesus didn't argue with it, because that wasn't the point. He said, yep, check, I got all that. I've been good. Jesus said, well, I tell you what you're going to have to do. Sell everything you got. Give away all your money. And then you can come follow me. He said, why would he say that, preacher? Because Jesus knew enough about that young man to know that if he did not separate himself from those riches, he was never going to be able to carry on a discipleship of Jesus. What's standing between most people and being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, is the things that they refuse to get rid of. It's not what they don't know, it's what they do know and what they are conscious of that they're not willing to get out of the way.
Amen.
Selfish ambition. Mm-hmm. Here's this innkeeper. I mean, imagine this. You own a motel in Bethlehem. That would be kind of like owning a motel in Macclesfield. Mm-hmm. Probably ain't a whole lot going on. Alright? And if it is, it probably ain't what you want going on.
Amen.
This ain't the type of place that you get rich off of. And all of a sudden, one day, Caesar comes out and says, everybody that's descended from David got to go to Bethlehem and stay there long enough for my tax collectors to make sure everybody's paid all the taxes I want. I mean, I'm just imagining this old boy. I don't know how they got the news back then. Probably some fella running through the middle of town reading it off a piece of paper. And this old boy, I can see the dollar sign start popping up in his eyeballs. Here we go. This is my time. This is my retirement moment right here. Everybody's coming to Bethlehem. I'm going to be full. I'm going to have all my rooms right. But his ambition overcame his ability to see what God was doing.
Amen.
And Christian, hear me out right here. If you're not careful, the things that you want out of life will become so opposed to the things that God wants out of your life that you will only ever be able to have one or the other.
Amen. That's right.
If you're not careful, your ambition for yourself will overcome God's will for your life. And I tell you what, I don't know what it's going to be like if I live to be old and I get to look back and reflect on my life, but I don't want to look back and say, man, I sure wish I would have taken the opportunities that God gave me instead of only taking the opportunities that I created for myself. Amen. I want to be able to look back and say, look what God did, not look what I did. Because here's what I know about God. What He can do is a whole lot more than what I can do.
Amen.
There was no room for Jesus because of the government policies, because of the greed of the people. But I want you to see this, and I'm almost done.
There was no room for Jesus, but thank God there was a glorifying that still took place. The world said there's no room for him. The government said, we don't care about him. We hate him. We don't want anything to do with him. Destroy him. Do anything you can to be in opposition to him. The world's crowd said, he ain't got nothing to offer us. We don't care about him. We don't have no room for him. We don't have a place for him. But I want to say in the manger, in the barn out back, it was probably a cave that was carved into the side of a rock. There was still a crowd even in the midst of all of that spent their night glorifying God in Jesus Christ. Thank God. In the midst of this, there was still a crowd that found their way to the feet of the King. Are y'all listening to me this morning? There was some that followed the word of God. The angels went out into the pastures where the shepherds were keeping the sheep, and they said, the Son of God is born in Bethlehem. I'm going to take you to where he is. And they followed his word. And there was some that followed the pattern of God. The wise men saw in the stars what God had said was coming, and they went and they found the feet of Jesus. There was some that followed through the purpose of God. That was Joseph and Mary that saw it through. And I want to say this, in the midst of all that which is against God in this world, we ought to be the crowd that winds up at his feet glorifying him.
Amen.
Say, preacher, the world don't care about Jesus. Hey, that's all right long as we do.
Amen.
Jesus don't need the world to worship him. He needs his people to worship him. Jesus doesn't need the world's approval. He's looking for the approval of the people that know who he is. Down East Baptist Church, we don't need 100,000 to worship him. We need whoever's in the building to worship him.
Amen.
Jesus don't need a fancy room in the inn. He just needs a place where there's a people that'll take the steps necessary to approach him with a heart of worship.
Yes.
I don't want to get hung up right here. A lot of them worship him in different ways. Them wise men from the east, they worshiped him with gifts. Not only that, they worshiped him with their actions.
Yes.
When it came to involved with the government. Because Herod told him, he said, hey, when you get down there and find out where he is, let me know. And then wise men said, all right, sure. Said, what did they do when they left? They didn't go see Herod. That's worship.
Yes, it is.
They worshiped him with giving of gifts. You know why? Because they had a lot of gifts to give. I don't know much about him, but he must have had some money because everything he brought was expensive. Can I say this? Hey, for those with gifts to give, giving gifts is worship. Are you with me?
Amen.
The shepherds didn't have no gifts to give. You know what they did? They left their flocks behind. They took a chance. They took a risk. They stepped out of their comfort zone. To come and worship him. Joseph and Mary, they didn't have much to offer him, but what they did have was obedience. Hey, listen, if most of us were Joseph, this story would have been a lot different because it would have started with us walking out the door.
Yeah.
A long time before we get to Bethlehem. Hey, men, I'm going to be honest with you. If your espoused wife that you've never been with turns up pregnant, that's a hard thing to deal with.
Yep.
Whether God comes to you in a dream or not, still a hard thing to deal with.
Yes.
But you know how Joseph worshiped the Lord? He worshiped him through his obedience.
Amen.
Mary worshiped him through her compassion. You know what she did for Jesus? She treated him like he was her own.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to worship him.
Here's what I'm going to say this morning. Some of us, it's just been a long time since we made any room for it. Here's what I want to encourage you during this Christmas season. As we approach Christmas Day tomorrow, I just want to give you this word of encouragement. Let's make some room for Jesus. Let's be intentional. Let's be serious about it. Let's let it be about Him. It's been about everything else long enough. Let's just let it be about Him. Hunter's coming to the piano. We're standing together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.